and welcome to the Blue Toon Podcast, your weekly unofficial podcast dedicated to all things Peterhead FC. On this week's episode, we look back on Saturday's draw at Bonnie Rigg Rose, preview this weekend's game against bottom of the table Clyde, and we've got more of your questions to answer. Yes, welcome along to the penultimate episode of 2023 of the Blue Toon Podcast. Yes, can't believe we're saying that already. Year has fairly flown in, but with me, as usual, with myself, Colin Byers, is Martin Smith. Martin, welcome along. How are you this week?
Good evening. I'm not too bad, Colin, yourself?
Not too bad, yes. Just getting fair sick of this rain, as we were saying earlier on. Just absolutely sick to death of it.
Aye, wind and rain. I mean, it's to be expected at this time of year, but it doesn't make it any easier. Frost last week as well, just to add into the mix. So, aye, it's winter. It's to be expected.
I'd much rather have the snow, to be honest with you, but maybe that's just me.
I don't mind the snow as long as it's not been frosty. Then you find your backside, which to some folk might be humorous, but Nathan, it is you and Faz.
Yeah, we are venturing towards the end of the year. As I said, this is we're one more week of the podcast before we take our Christmas break. Are you ready for Christmas yet? Are you prepared?
I'm more prepared than I was at this point last week, that's for sure. The bank account's taken a fair hit over the last couple of days, but it's one of them, you put it off for so long and then all of a sudden you're like, well, I've actually got to do some ordering or else it's not going to be here in time. So yeah, we're sort of prepared, sort of a wee bit yourself.
We're just saying that at work the other day, it's like it's kind of crept up on us all of a sudden. It's like you've only got 2 weeks left and that's literally it. And yeah, but as you said a few weeks ago, it's the same date every year, so we shouldn't be surprised. Yeah. We should not be surprised. Right, let's get to it then. I just want to start by going back to last week's episode. So we had Sharon Brown on last week, the new Peterhead GM, general manager. Once again, a big thank you to her for coming on. And I think it was a positive exercise as well. We got a lot of good feedback off of it. A lot of people were impressed with what she was saying, how she was coming across, etc. And also, we also got a few positive notes from Dumbarton supporters as well, more on the reasons for the game being called off as well. So they found it open and transparent, and that's basically what we were trying to do.
Yeah, it's one thing in a game called off. It gives us, I mean, even for myself, it was quite good to hear Sharon's comments on how they reached the decision and the time scale of everything. And obviously, had it, as you mentioned in the recording, had the game maybe been against Cove, you maybe knock it down the line at another hour and it gives you a chance. So, it was transparent. And I think that's, you know, the last year or so, the things coming out of the club have been more transparent. And yeah, hopefully that'll continue in with Sharon as she goes on in her role.
Yeah, and as I said, it was good to come on at such short notice as well, because obviously we weren't expecting for her to be announced as a general manager. That was on the Friday, and then obviously have the game called off on the Saturday. So within a space of sort of 24 hours, 48 hours, she was being pulled for pillar to post and then being asked to come on to our wee podcast, and she was good enough to do that. So yeah, that's again more positive vibes that we're getting for the club as well. One thing she did mention as well was the ultras. Obviously they've got the ongoing raffle. She did mention as well that the movement for that coming along and the apparatus that the ultras were going to get would be in motion, and that's certainly what has happened. So that looks as though, I'm not sure if it's going to be ready in time for Saturday's game, but it certainly looks as though it's something that they are making a big push for.
I kind of let that sentence go without mentioning. Where did you pick out the word apparatus from? That is an absolutely incredible word to use. Yeah, I think Shana mentioned it on the Monday that there was going to be movement, hopefully within the next couple of days. I think it was the Tuesday night or maybe even the Wednesday that they'd got in their container and was getting delivered to them. They're going to be doing work on it. So yeah, it's taking shape. I think there maybe is still some raffles available for the club. You need to contact them directly. But yeah, it's definitely a positive step in a step in the right direction.
Yeah, I thought apparatus was a better word than container, and it's been one of the I've been trying to get in our year, but it's never been the appropriate time. Yeah, you're right. There is still tickets available for the raffle. I think there's about 50 left. I think it was at the last time we spoke. So all the details will be on the club's social media page. So get involved with that. Hopefully they all get sold before Saturday or on Saturday. Then the draw will be made during the game on Saturday or halftime or something like that. And hopefully somebody will be getting the prize on Saturday, which would be a good early Christmas present for somebody.
That would be a fine wee bonus, would it? Getting the drawing of the competition and winning it. But yeah, I mean, as you said, there's only about 50 or so tickets left. It'd be good to get it done over the course of the week and get it drawn at the weekend.
Can you imagine if you win that on the 50-50?
Well, I mean, the Christmas on you if you do. That's for sure. You can't have a hide in that sort of win.
That would be some win. Right, let's get on to set of this game. Doing it Bonnie Rigg, first time. The club has been at Bonnie Rigg, and it's safe to say it was a memorable visit, maybe not for the right reasons, but particularly for what ended up being like a bog pit. A proper old school kind of pitch at this time of the year, as you're used to that kind of thing. It's back to the old sort of Highland League days and things like that, where pitches were readily like that. 1-1 the game finished. The look at it, maybe it wasn't a great point, but I think having sort of looked at it and having a couple of days to think about it, maybe was a decent point in the end, given the conditions, etc.
Yeah, I think this one goes down as a point gained rather than two dropped, considering we also went a goal down. I guess you could flip it on its head and say we also missed a penalty. But I think, yeah, when you look at things, I would say it's a point gained rather than two dropped.
Yeah, it was. We did have concerns whether or not the game was going to go ahead even earlier on in the week. You know, they had a lot of snow beginning of last week, and obviously the snow then turned into a lot of rain. And I think further down south than us, they were getting a lot more rain than we were. So there was always going to be a concern. Then on the Saturday morning, they announced that they had a burst pipe on the Friday, but they got that fixed though. Which obviously meant that if they hadn't got that fixed, then the game would have been off for that reason and not maybe the pitch being waterlogged.
Yeah, I mean, evidently there's been a lot of stuff in the pitch lately because you could tell by the condition it deteriorated pretty quick. If you watch back the highlights package on the YouTube, basically how the pitch looked at 3 o'clock and how it looked at 10 to 5, it's like a ball field, as you said earlier on. So the credit to them for getting the game on. They've obviously done a lot of work. They've had a lot of adversity thrown at them throughout the week with different things. So, yeah, credit to the ground staff for allowing us to have a game to go to.
Yeah, and I think it's maybe another 24 hours of rain or if the game is maybe played on a Sunday for whatever reason, it may well have fallen foul to the weather. But I think having that game been off and the game the previous week been off might have been just too much for us at that time. So it was good to get the game on, as you said.
Yeah, I don't think you'd want two games called off back-to-back. So to try to rearrange them becomes problematic. But yeah, it was good to get the game, get some minutes into some of the players. Obviously, some of them haven't played for a few weeks either. But, I mean, again, it gives an extra week for recovery and injuries and niggles and all that. So, you know, that might have been a positive hit. Had any going ahead, but I think there isn't any positives when you don't have a game of football. The guys want to be playing, they want to be challenging up at the top end of the table like they are, and yeah, a decent point to come away with.
And that's the joys of the negative, I guess, of having a grass pitch. It will sort of fall foul to weather like that if there's not the proper drainage. Although was told last week and reliably informed that they will be changing to an all-weather pitch at the end of the season, so all that will be changing, so that for reasons for like that, their drainage, etc., that's why they're switching to an all-weather pitch.
Yeah, the good old all-weather pitch argument. Yeah, I mean, it's for some people. I'm not a lover of it, to be fair. I'll use Livingston as a prime example. It's an all-weather pitch. I think there's been more games called off at Livy in 2023 than there has been anywhere else. I think I seen that stat somewhere the other day, but yeah, it's some people are for it, some are against. I think in fact I should be played in grass personally, but that's just my personal take.
We'll call it artificial grass rather than an old weather pitch then, because that's when sort of people go, oh well, it's an old weather pitch. But then again, you look at Falkirk last week, their game was off because of the snow, and that was the first thing folk had said to them, oh well, it's an old weather pitch. But you look at what the surrounding areas for them, it's not just the case of trying to clear a pitch, it would be clearing the surrounding areas, the car parks, etc.
Yeah, I think when games get called off, some people maybe overlook the circumstances round about it as well. You know, okay, the pitch is maybe playable, but you've got the stands, you've got the parking, the travelling to, you know, the surrounding areas, the ground for ice and everything. So there's a lot more than just the pitch when the club do inspections. Obviously, the referee will do the pitch, but you've got to consider their surrounding areas as well.
So there was two changes to the lineup on Saturday. Out went Conor O'Keefe and Hamish Ritchie, and in came Ryan Strachan and Andy McCarthy. I think those were the two that we thought would start. They're pretty much starters in the eyes of the co-managers. I know one of them is the co-manager, so it's maybe a little bit easier to pick himself. But slightly, maybe because Hamish maybe had the start against Ayr, played an hour, maybe it was a case of just seeing him getting the minutes. Maybe the heavy pitch was the thinking up for him and Conor as well.
Yeah, it was the changes I sort of expected to come in. I don't think the pitch, they'd have probably noticed that, if you know, or they maybe would have been told earlier on in the week about the pitch condition, how it was when they turned up as well. Again, even if they had a team in mind, they cancelled change it an hour up until kickoff, I think it is. So, you know, everything is taken into consideration. It was quite a boggy pitch. It got worse as the game went on, and obviously that will make an impact on your team selection as well.
And considering the injuries that they're coming, or that certainly Hamish has had, and you know, Conor said his issues with hamstrings and things like that, it's near the ideal pitch to be running on for 90 minutes or 60 minutes.
No, that's the sort of game you've got to manage them coming back, the type of injuries that they've got. You can't just put them in the starting 11 and try and get 90 minutes out of them. You've got to take into consideration the quality of the pitch. Now, it wasn't the greatest, but you know, we're still grateful that a game went on. But you could see, certainly, especially in the second half, the pitch just got, you know, more boggy as the game went on.
Davey Wilson started again because Jason was still out, and I think that was his third start in a row for Davey. And again, you know, it's good minutes for him. Reliable player, as we've always said. Davey Wilson, and it just means that, you know, once Jason does come back, it makes selections a little bit more difficult for him.
Yeah, I said after the Ayr game from the previewed Dumbarton that if Jason was fit, do you drop Davey Wilson? It'd be really difficult. I still stand by that. Obviously, Jason will be back at some point in the next couple of weeks, and it would be difficult to drop Davey Wilson. I don't know whether you'd maybe put him to right back or whatever, but then it's Harsh and Scott Ross. So, yeah, I mean, the management team's got a fair bit of consideration of D over Davey Wilson for the D, because he's come in, been very solid, very reliable. And if I was thought that about Davey, I think if he went out on loan under Davey Robertson's tenure, I think it was very harsh on him, because I still think the quality that Davey brought in, Robertson brought in at the time, was not much better than Davey Wilson is now, a really good player. So yeah, I think when Jason does come back, there's certainly a question to ask Ryan and Jordan.
The home side took the lead via a corner, Kerr Young with a free header at the back post. We don't concede very often from corners. I think that's just the second goal that we've conceded from a corner this season. But bitterly disappointing this one, obviously. Free header at the back post. It's nae something that we see very often this season.
No, it's not, but it's disappointing. You fairly got, I think it was Rory McAllister, I might be wrong. I think it was Rory, it was maybe just in front of him. I'm not sure whether he's misjudged it, or maybe Dean Rory had deserved it, so maybe it was actually him. But yeah, the flight of the ball's come out, and Kerr Young, he's got up nice and early. He can exactly why he's got to put it. McKenzie's nae saving it. It's a really good. I think he's the projection on the header as well. He can exactly why he wants to put it. He's met it cleanly. Good corner, good ball in the box as well. And yeah, at that point, they were probably worthy of going 1-0 up as well.
Yeah, it was probably the ideal start for them as well, because I think it was really got going much in that first sort of 10-15 minutes. Took us a wee while to get going, but I think they probably did just sneak the lead at that stage.
No, I'd agree. And I think on the slight balance of play, they probably did just about edge it. Disappointing to concede the way we did, you know, for a set piece, we didn't often concede from them. But yeah, it was a free header, that's a disappointing thing.
But we did have a chance to equalise just 7 minutes later. We were awarded a penalty, and I did say last week a penalty in this game would be a good bet to stick on. I did think it might have been at the other end, however, it was given to us, which was unusual. Handball, there was never really any complaints for any Bonnyrigg player at the time, and again, when you look at the highlights, it doesn't seem to be anybody complaining too much about it. So it was pretty much a good decision for the referee.
Yeah, given some of the penalties that we've seen in the Premiership in Scotland this year, I think that's a stick on, to be fair, as you said, and there's need to really complain. I think when the handball was, the hand was hit as well, you can tell by the reaction, a couple of Peter Reid boys were quick to shout for it as well. So they knew straight away it hit his hand, there were no complaints to the Bonnyrigg player either, so you sort of come to the conclusion that it must have been a penalty.
And it was Kieran Shanks who stepped up to take the penalty, and it was saved by Paddy Martin in the Bonnyrigg goal. I think you have to put this one down as a good save.
Yeah, it's a good save. Keeper's got his hand up. If I'm being slightly critical, I think it's a poor penalty. I think it's a perfect height for the keeper. I mean, he's diving, he's still got his hand to it. It's nae low enough to be in the corner, it's nae high enough to be in the top. And I think when you watch it back, as the keeper did, if you guess the right way, I think you're going to save it if you stick your hand to it. Keeper may get a dive with both hands out, but you know, he's got his hand up. It's a very good save, taking on away for Paddy Martin. He's saved it and he's got up well for to claim the rebound as well. But yeah, I don't know whether the pitch maybe played a part in it, running about the penalty spot, whether it sort of impacted Kieran's decision, but maybe been overcritical. I don't know. I'm not a striker, so I wouldn't have came. But I generally think when you look back, like I said, it's nae top corner, it's nae bottom. Maybe slightly disappointed, but again, taken away for the save by Paddy Martin, really good.
You mentioned the pitch. It's maybe one of those where his main concern is just getting it on target in case he, you know, tries to lash at it and, you know, ends up slipping and it goes miles over.
Yeah, there is that to it as well. As I said, the pitch was quite boggy. That's maybe played a part in Kieran's thinking. But yeah, it's maybe been critical. I mean, had it goes in the back and then the keeper goes the other way, it's a good penalty and he's dispatched it well. But I think Rory McAllister might now be on penalty duties. Is that if it were telling this summer? If Kieran, he would allow Kieran to take them till he missed. Is this now the changing of the guard?
Well, we thought we might have gotten a chance to see who was going to take the next penalty at the tail end of the game, but obviously there wasn't a penalty for the foul on Rory McAllister. Although I've been listening to Jordan's post match at the end, he did suggest that the referee was going to give a foul earlier on the build up anyway.
Yes, I just wonder if Rory's now got to go on the penalties, or whether, you know, if the Kieran's point of view, he's missed one, he maybe wants to get back on them as well. But yeah, certainly be an interesting next time we get a penalty.
It could be very interesting. I mean, if Andy McCarthy steps up instead, then we'll see what happens there. So we're 1-0 down at half time, and I don't think without really sort of other than the penalty troubling Paddy Martin too much. So McKee did have a free kick, which went over the bar, just about a sighter for him. But he, in the second half, 50 minutes into the second half, does what we're starting to get used to, but you know, when he steps over that for a free kick from that kind of distance, there's an anticipation now.
Yeah, he had a bit of a sighter, as you said, in the first half, just went over the bar, but when I seen him stepping up for the one that he scored from, I thought, he's now got to shoot for there, surely. But he did, and he got it on target, but what a free kick that is. Really good free kick.
I actually think it's slightly further out than the Stranraer one as well. I think it's a good 5-10 yards further back as well.
Yeah, considering the one that he scored a couple of weeks back, this is, it looks certainly further out. That's why I was slightly surprised he was going to take a shot, but if you've got that in your arm and you can dig that out on the pitch, that sort of pitch as well, quite easy to blast over. Yeah, I certainly think we've got a man that can take a free kick or two now, that's for sure.
Just two things kind of spoiled it for me. One, obviously, is the short sleeves and gloves, which I'm not going to get into again. I'm not going to get that as well. But, a bit of a lack of celebration for him. I'm just kind of chucking the free kick into the top corner and then just running back to the halfway line to get on with the game again.
Yeah, a very nonchalant celebration, is it? It's one of them, as you try to get players back to try and get on with the game, but like, if you hit a free kick that good, I think you deserve to be celebrating. Unless he does it week in, week out in training, it's sort of become the normal for him to dispatch it for about 30 yards. But it's weird, as soon as I seen him with short sleeves and gloves, I knew that would be you riled up the hell. I just knew that would get a comment.
We maybe start calling him the Peterhead Pirlo or something like that, just with the free kick expertise. There we go. So we're back into the game, and but unfortunately, I did think, though, after that, Bonnyrigg seemed to be the slightly better side. I think if there was going to be a winner, it was going to come for them. Stuart McKenzie was certainly the busier the two goalkeepers towards the end as well.
Yeah, that's why I think it was a point gained rather than two dropped. Because I think had the game maybe gone on another 10, 15 minutes, I think there was only one winner that was going to come. I think Bonnyrigg's that goal that Joe McKee scored, I think it sort of galvanised them a wee bit more than it did us, to be fair. I think they were probably the team that looked like they were going to go on and score a winner if there was to be one.
And let's be honest, I mean, they're a pretty decent side. I think they will be in and around sort of that fourth, fifth place position for the remainder of the season. And there won't be many sides that will go there and come away with points. And so I think, yeah, as you said, it's probably is a decent point given how, you know, the conditions were. We'd missed a week the week before, still missing, you know, players or players not fully fit. So yeah, maybe it's just a decent point.
I think so. I speak to a couple of guys at work at Rangers, and I came are now 5 points behind Steny, but I still think it's a good point on the road. As you said, I think Bonnyrigg will be there or thereabouts in the playoffs come the end of the season. Given the type of pitch that we were playing on as well, we missed a penalty, we went a goal down. I think it's a good point, and we're maybe getting, I think some people are maybe getting a wee bit too focused on Steny. Yeah, I think they've won their last six, is it? Mm-hmm. In a row. Scored a lot of late goals as well, again, the winner. It's a sign of a good team, but yeah, we're a good side as well. And I think Steny will still have a period in the season where they'll struggle a wee bit or maybe drop a few points. And we just need to be in touching distance and try and capitalise on it. So, yeah, we've got a game in hand. You can close the gap to two. We're still going to play them again this season. So, yeah, I'm not overly worried that it's a 5-point gap, and I do still think it's a point gained.
Yeah, as you said, the 5 points, six wins on the bounce. The last two wins have been 1-0 wins, and they've been really late wins as well, or really late goals they've been getting. So, I think you sort of get too sort of hung up on the sort of we're five behind, but there is still that game in hand. We do still have to play them twice as well.
Yeah, I've never kind of a lead been won at the start of December. So, I mean, there's a lot of points still to play for, and there's a lot of team. We've said it numerous times. Teams will take points off each other. Steny's still got a couple of tough fixtures still to come to Balmoor, for example. So, yeah, really not getting hung up in that they're 5 points clear. They've had a good November. They've continued that into December. But we're a good side as well, a game in hand. On paper, we've got favourable fixtures coming up, a couple of home games as well. Then I see no reason to panic.
Yeah, we're almost at the halfway stage as well. So, it's... they're on, as I said, Steny's on a bit of a run. Whether or not they can maintain that will be up to them. But you know, it's about us now focusing on trying to get ourselves in a bit of a run now as well.
Yeah, and you know, everybody in the media before a ball was kicked at the start of the season, didn't they? Very few people had Peterhead even to be in the promotion playoffs, to be in the conversation. So, got the testament to Ryan and Jordan how far we've come in the last 5-6 months is really good. Yeah, certainly not worried that, I mean, to be fair, we're sitting here speaking about this, and we're sitting second in the table, 5 points behind Steny at the top. There's really nothing to panic about.
Yeah, I think it's only like 5 points dropped in the last six games or something like that, or five games. So we would have taken that last season.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, the league would look a lot different had we maybe gotten a point down at Steny. That's when we had the three games in a week.
Yeah.
And everything. We had a couple of injuries back then as well. So it doesn't always go for you, but it's, I reiterate, I'm certainly panicking at this stage of the season. Far from it.
Let's get some of your comments from Saturday's game. Then Graham McLean, he says, heavy rain made it for a heavy pitch, not conducive to free-flowing football. Battled well in the conditions. Stuart McKenzie made several vital stops. The referee was actually quite decent. Bonnie Rigg too have an ultra section. They made plenty of noise and were well behaved. Neil Thompson, the park was not ideal for decent fit, but as expected, they got right in our face and turned it into a battle, which, to be fair, we competed very well. Kieran's penalty was well saved by their keeper. First trip to Bonnie Rigg and the folk were fine. Not sure how much the ground has changed since they were a junior side, but need some work done. Yeah, and it kind of goes back to what we're saying about the, putting in the artificial turf, for example. I know as well that when they got promoted, they had to put in the floodlights as part of the SPFL license or rules or whatever it is. They had to get the floodlights put in. So I think what they've done is that they've gotten themselves promoted and they've sort of split the income towards some of it going to a playing pool that they can keep them in League Two, which they did last season. And then obviously certain parts of it going to the ground where obviously maybe some of that's maybe flipped a little bit. So that they're, I would say, almost an established League Two side. They're only been in their second season, but they can now maybe start making those improvements to the ground.
Yeah, they definitely from the outside appear to be a progressive club. I think the criteria of the SPFL says that they've got to have these infrastructure in place, and they'll be fully aware of that before they were battling for promotion, and I'm sure it's something that will be accounted for, however they manage their club. But definitely progressing, and you can see that by some of the things that are doing on and off the pitch.
Just a couple other comments as well. Rosie Cow said, guys did really well today. Sean Beattie, worth coming down just to see another Joe McKee free kick. Pitch killed our game. Stephen Gairns, take the point and move on to the next game. The pitch came in for a bit of stick. Which was different from what we normally see somebody getting a bit of stick would be the referee. But yeah, the pitch was, I wouldn't say the star attraction, but it was certainly the main cause for a lot of people's concerns for the game.
Just goes to show where how much we appreciate Stan and the work that he does with his team at Balmour, because the state of some of the pitches that you're seeing, even Championship League One, isn't that great? But yeah, again, testament to Stan and the work that he does for our pitch at Balmour.
Yeah, it's good to see, and just even getting the game on was good. But so let's move on then. We've got some of your questions and comments coming in. We'll go through some of them before we move on. So Scott Reid, start with him. Probably already been asked, but I think we need another winger, and we have Aaron Smith out on loan. Do we get him back, or do we leave him at Hertis for the rest of the season, or would they sign another one in on loan? We kind of touched on this a couple of weeks ago, I think, and I think we both can agree that the best thing for both the club and for Aaron would be to remain at Hertis for the remainder of the season.
Yeah, 100% for me. He's doing well. He's at a very, very young age. I don't think bringing him into our dressing room at this moment in time is the right thing to do. I think leaving him on loan at Hertis where he'll get game time. I think if you brought him back, you've got to ask yourself, is he going to be a starter? No. Is he going to come off the bench in most games? Again, my answer to that would be no. I don't think he would. So leave him out on loan at Hertis, let him develop. The reviews that we're getting for the Hertis on Aaron is that he's doing really, really well, and they're happy with the way he's progressing. I'm sure Ryan and Jordan will be in touch with the Hertis a lot more than we are, but yeah, the reports there are good so far.
And the thing is, even though he's on loan at the Hertis, he's still training with the team every week as well. So you know, they'll see how he is, you know, changing every week. Obviously, he's not playing for the team, but, you know, he's still with them. He's still, you know, training with them on a weekly basis.
Yeah, they'll be getting updates from him and the Hurties as well. They'll be providing feedback on his games and how he's getting on. But as you said, Ryan and Jordan will see him week in, week out of training. They'll notice the difference of him from the start of the season to now, and I'm sure they'll see a big difference between now and the end of the season as well, which is why, you know, especially at the age he's at, game time is crucial. For me, I believe him at Hurties.
And as for any movement coming in or out, again, I think we sort of touched on it. I think there might be some movement in terms of maybe another forward, winger, attack-minded player at least, even just to kind of to freshen things up a little bit.
Yeah, no, I'd agree. I think you've got Wardy and you've got O'Keefe, but I think you do, obviously Hamish Ritchie as well. I think you're still looking for that one more player. I think, well, Wacky and Rory's of a certain age, and they got to be able to play 90 minutes every week, so you're wanting maybe somebody to come in along. Be interested to see if Aaron Reid's still going to be here come the end of January. Do Aberdeen feel he's playing enough games as what he should? They might want to recall him. So, yeah, there might be a wee bit of movement. Obviously, you've got Kieran Gibbons to come back at some point, hopefully early in the new year as well. Kane Duthie's got to be out for the season. So, yeah, that might just shape their plans in January, given on the fitness updates as well.
Yeah, well, that takes us nicely on to the next one. There's a number of folk have asked about the updates on Jason and Kieran. So Kieran Gibbons has started his rehab, so he'll be, you know, a few weeks before he's sort of ready to go again. Almost like a pre-season for him, right in the middle of the season.
Yeah, it's going to be difficult. Obviously, he was within pre-season, he got the injury, and then he's had a setback or two off the pitch as well. So him coming back, evidently it's a new player. He isn't playing a league game, so that'll be for him. But the pre-season work, there's going to be a lot of work to do behind the scenes as well for him. So he's back from injury and get him in the squad. He's always going to have to do a bit of a pre-season with Donald as well. So, yeah, a wee bit of work to do behind the scenes, but hopefully he'll be in and around the squad over the next couple of weeks.
Yeah, so he's a few weeks before he'll be playing. Jason missed out on Saturday and could well be missing it again this Saturday. But the suggestion is he could be back for the Forfar game or at least the Elgin game before the end of the year.
Yeah, we spoke to him a couple of weeks ago and he thought he would be, you know, touch and go for middle of December, but hey, Abdi Kinshaw, Jason's like, he doesn't like to miss a game if he can help it, and I'm sure he's working really hard to try and get back. But as we've said numerous times before, excuse me, you can't rush a player back for one game. You've got to think the whole season, and I'm sure Ryan and Jordan will play Jason when he's fit and ready to go.
Yeah, and I think there's a need for him to rush back as well. You know, maybe in previous seasons we may have tried to rush a player back because we didn't have the strength and depth. But as we said earlier on, David Wilson's playing so well. Scott Ross can play right back or centre half, and so can Davey as well. So I'd much rather have a fully fit Jason back than try to get a 75% match fit Jason Brown back. I know that sounds quite an easy thing to say, but there has been occasions over the last maybe couple of years where you've gone, is he half fit? Is he, you know, sort of three quarters fit? Like, let's just get him in.
Well, I think you're 100% bang on. I think if there's one area of the pitch that we're really solid at just now, it would be centre back. A couple of really good players who can play there. And as you said, there's no need to rush Jason back when you've got Davey playing so well. You've got Scott. You've got Ryan. So we've got players who can cover that position. Get him back fully fit and ready to go is much better.
Neil Thompson said, we'd say we do everything as well, if not better than most clubs at our level, apart from providing highlights of our home games. We've been fortunate that some of the away teams have done this for us. We did have the streaming set up, while not great, it was better than nothing. Could the club seek out another cameraman? Yeah, so let's take the first the point there, then highlights of that been provided by some of the away teams. We said this a couple of weeks ago. I think Bonnyrigg, Stranraer, East Fife, off the top of my head, have been particularly good highlights packages, particularly this season. So yeah, some of them have been really good, and the standard that they've put out as well has been pretty good, and getting them out pretty quick on the Sunday as well.
Yeah, I think this season, I can't say I noticed it much with League One, but I think the highlight packages that we're getting for clubs in League Two is really, really good, and it's a testament. There's a lot of clubs, you know, these guys are volunteers, and the quality of work, the level of work that's put out, I really do think it puts some of the bigger teams to shame, to be honest, with the coverage. And yeah, as you said, not only the coverage is good, but getting the highlights package out at the weekend as well, when people have been to games, you want to watch the highlights back. I think it's incredible. And yeah, it would be good to see us at Balmoor with more highlights coming out for the club, and hopefully that's a thing that can happen.
And to bring up your second point then, could the club seek out another cameraman? Well, that's neat to say that they haven't been. What you're really looking for there is someone who's going to do it as a volunteer, and potentially giving up every Saturday, or at least, you know, every second Saturday, to video the game as a videographer, and then obviously then going home and rewatching it all and go through the game and put it in that as a highlights package, which obviously will take a bit of time. I can even just putting this together sometimes takes a bit of time, as difficult as that may sound. But yeah, it does take a wee bit of time to get through. So you're looking for somebody who's got a bit of interest in football, but it's maybe doing like a uni course on videography or something like that, and it can do it, part time, and can do it as a volunteer as well, because these guys are all volunteers that do these kind of things at period.
It's very time consuming, and obviously it's an unpaid role, which when you're giving up your weekends and it's unpaid, it makes it a very difficult proposition to try and get somebody to do it. It would probably suit somebody, as you said, maybe go to uni or something like that, that's wanting to work in that sort of profession. But as we've seen over recent years, it's very difficult to try and get somebody to do it, because you said they watch the game, they record it, then have to watch it back, cut it up into highlights, render it and everything. So it makes it difficult. It doesn't sound an attractive proposition when you say you're giving up your Saturday and most potentially half your Sunday as well to do it as a free volunteer basis. But yeah, look, I'm sure the club are trying to work on it, because they can how good the exposure can be with a good highlights package. Folk in the club have mentioned that previously to us, so hopefully it's something that's been worked on.
Yeah, and that's maybe something that it might fall under Sharon's remit as well. Maybe that's one of the kind of things that she might look at, Dean, as well. I think Kerr is quite involved with the media side of things. It's maybe just something that they've been looking for, and just haven't gotten anybody who's willing to do it. As I said, they've got everything else there, the photographer there with Duncan Brown as well. So there is a potential for growing the media side of things.
Yeah, and there's so many things going at the club behind the scenes and on match days and everything. I think the social media and the highlights package is maybe one of them things at the moment that's well down the long list of things that they've got to take care of on a match day. But hopefully, as I said, maybe the end of the season or starting next season, it can be something that might change. As you said, it's maybe in Sharon's remit, but it would be good to see, and hopefully it can happen.
Lastly, on Peter Bruce, has said our chairman was 75 the other day. Is it worth giving him a mention for his many years of service to our club? And absolutely. Many happy returns to Mr. Roger Morrison, 75. I didn't realise he was that age, but certainly looking well for it.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. Not only does he get mentioned for his age, but it's, as Sharon pointed out last week, the work that he does behind the scenes that maybe goes unnoticed. he was the first team there last Saturday to help look at the pitch as daylight was coming in. So, the man was, he's 75 and he's still... He lives and breathes for the club, and I think maybe at times he gets a wee bit of criticism that's unwarranted when you dig deeper and see the amount of work that he does behind the scenes. So yeah, hopefully he enjoyed his birthday celebrations.
And I think something that sort of flew under the radar a little bit was back in September. I think would have been his 30 years at the club since he took over him, and obviously Roger Taylor as well, it took over back in 1993. So, you know, it's a long time he's been within that role, long time he's been working, you know, to try and improve the club. You know, and if you look, you think about it, you know, he's been there 30 years. One of his managers, Jim McAnally, was there for, you know, more than a third of it.
He's seen a lot of people come and go over that throughout the club, whether it be in the business side or whether it be in the playing staff, managers, coaches, whatever. He's seen a lot of people come and go. And yeah, he's stuck around, and, you know, I think people in the lower league clubs, they can sometimes get bored of the clubs if it's not their passion and their hobby. And as I said, Roger was there early doors last weekend. He was one of the first teams there. So, yeah, he still lives and breathes for the club. And, you know, I think it's fantastic that we've got a chairman that's like that behind the scenes to back everything up.
And he's always there. He's always mingling about on a match day, particularly the Hame games. And when I shirk away for any questions or comments that somebody wants to make...
Yeah, even when things were tough last season, he didn't shirk away for things. He was always going about in the bar or going through it. And yeah, if you stopped to ask him a question or just, you know, pleasantries in the past, and he wouldn't ignore you. He'll have a chat to you. And yeah, again, it's testament he faces things up when things aren't going as well as they maybe should be.
Right, so we'll move on to Saturday's game. We're back at home again. Hopefully, we've got a game to go to this time round. We play Clyde, who are currently sitting bottom of League 2, just at 8 points. 4 points behind Elgin. So maybe this is the... as you sort of touched on earlier on as well, it's the start of a run where we played in the bottom three sides in the next three games.
Yeah, it's a favourable run of fixtures. We're 2 at home and 1 away to Elgin. I think if you're being realistic and you've got any harbouring hopes of going up as champions, you're probably looking at them to win all three, if you're really being honest. There's only 1 away from home and it's Elgin. They disrespect you, but we've seen Elgin at Balmoor in October and they were pretty bad. So yeah, I think this is the point now where we need to start turning the screw and trying to get 3 points at home game against Clyde. They've been really poor this season. Recently, the manager changed as well with Ian McCall coming in. So yeah, I'd still be expecting a win, good performance, and yeah, start getting the ball rolling for the December home games.
Did that surprise you that Ian McCall went there?
Yeah, I'll be honest, I was. I kind of there's been mitigating circumstances with part of Thistle and everything, the gardening leave, but I generally thought he'd have got a club, they just respect to Clyde, but a bigger club, a higher club, maybe in League One, even Championship, to be honest. Yeah, I was surprised he went to Clyde, but I'm sure Clyde have got, you know, hopes of now trying to kick on and get up the league. Kenny made murmurings on wanting a couple of players in January, but yeah, I was surprised he went there.
Just an opportunity for us then, as you said, to try and turn the screw a little bit. You know, we always like to put one over Clyde, obviously. But is this an opportunity to be a bit more on the front foot? You know, maybe play the likes of Conor O'Keefe and Hamish Ritchie again?
Yeah, I think so. I think this is the game where you're at home against a team that's sitting bottom, as you mentioned a minute ago. They've only got 8 points. They're not going to come up here and, you know, be expansive. I think they're going to sit in. They're going to try and hit us on the counter. And this is maybe some of the games that we struggle in, where the teams will sit back and, you know, we've got to try and break them down. We've seen it in recent times where we struggle to do it. But we need to keep eye. We need to move the ball quick. We need to work it side to side. I think long balls isn't going to work. We've got to try and play it through the lines. You know, get your wider players involved, your creative players, your Conor O'Keefe's, your Hamish Ritchie's, Andy McCarthy, Joe McKee. Got to get them involved in the game a lot more than what we've maybe been doing in recent weeks at home. But yeah, I think this is one you've kind of sit in the fence and say, I'd probably be a decent result. No, we're at home against a team that's bottom. We've got to win.
Yeah, and you know, trying to be on the front foot for the very get go as well, because as an attacking threat, they're not offering very much at all this season. I think it's only like 12 goals or something that they've got so far this season, so it's not a lot. So, and I think Martin Rennie actually is the only player in the Clyde squad who scored more than one goal for them in the league.
Crikey, that is a poor record to have. But yeah, look, I think we've got to be in the front foot. We've got to attack. They're going to be low in confidence. And I think if you've got an early goal in the game as well, maybe a chance to get a couple. Help the goal difference a wee bit. I think that could be crucial. Maybe towards the end of the season, you don't want to be sort of worrying about goal difference if it can do it. But yeah, there's an opportunity here, I think, to go out and attack and potentially get a couple of goals.
Yeah, and do what we did against Elgin, really, you know, get the opening goal early on and then just keep plugging away, because you know that even though they've changed their manager, you know, an early goal for us, suddenly that maybe we'll see their heads dropping.
Yeah, it's a confidence thing. They've been shipping goals left, right and centre. They're a team that's struggling, and this is in the back of a team that struggled last year as well. So yeah, if we can get an early goal, as you said, somewhere at the Elgin game where we scored 2 in 10 minutes, if you keep going at them and plug away, you can get a couple of goals. But I think the longer the game goes at 0-0, I think the more Clyde will try and feed into the game. You really don't want that to happen. You want to try and just nullify their hopes early on, get an early goal, and you know, try and enjoy the afternoon. But in terms of, you know, being expressive and being expansive at the top end of the pitch.
And we've got a decent record against them as well. We've nearly lost against them in the last 7. And you've got to go back 2 years before you'll find a Clyde win at Balmoral as well. So, I mean, if they were going to handpick a game for them to try and, you know, get the start a winning run or you know, try and get, you know, 3 wins out of 3, if potentially, this would be the 3 teams that they would pick, and they'd probably start with Clyde.
Yeah, I think so. As I said, it's a favourable run of games that we've got coming up. Why it was kind of that the last couple were trickier, okay, kind of Dumbarton game was off, but there's a couple of tricky games. This is now when you'd expect to try and get points on the board. We've got a game in hand against Dumbarton in January, but you've got a chance to try and put a wee bit of pressure again on Stenney, because they've got I wouldn't say a favourable run themselves. They've got a trickier run coming up, I think, if I looked at it last week. So yeah, there's a chance here to get some points on the board, a couple of goals as well, but I think you've got to be trying to get 3 wins out of 3 in your remaining games for 2023.
Okay, joining me now to get his take on Saturday's game is a very familiar voice to most of you. It's Paul Shanks. Paul, welcome back to the Luton Podcast. How are you?
Yeah, I wish I could say it was good to be back, Colin, as well, just saying off air, but we're in regular contact, whether we want to be or not these days. But no, I'm doing good, football aside. And yeah, happy to give my opinions as always.
I was just wondering, maybe we should start calling this bit of the show, the episode, the Paul Shanks section. I mean, that's quite difficult to say, you know. A bit like what they had in Soccer AM, like the Luther Blissett stand, you know, because you've been on this long, we should name it after you.
Maybe get him a wee bit of merchandise. Just mad.
That's the other thing.
A sleeve and one of your merchandise.
The sort of Soccer AM theme, obviously. Tim Lovejoy does the Sunday brunch. And if they've been there for a certain length of time, they get a gold mug, so maybe you should get one of them.
I must be on at least 3 hat-trick balls. Stage,
I think you've been on more times than I have, maybe. Anyway, Paul, how are things with you then? You looking forward to Christmas coming up?
I'm looking forward to Christmas more than I'm looking forward to Saturday. But yeah, no, it's been another just helter-skelter year, just in general terms. Christmas has just got that uncanny knack of just slapping you out across the jaw from nowhere. It's like, one minute you're celebrating, well, for me, my birthday's in July, and then you're like, I've got a few months left, and then bang, Christmas, and you're like, you're great. My boy, my youngest, his birthday's in November as well, so we didn't plan that out. Well, we didn't plan it out, but we didn't think that one through well enough to go, I best not having too many kids around Christmas, but no, one in November, so any pension, but that's right, my wife, she's an accountant, she's got that well in hand.
It's suddenly becoming a bit of a therapy session for you, but I think you're sort of letting more out than your personal life. 2023, I'm guessing you just want to be, from a footballing perspective, you just want to put this year to bed.
it's not often that I get to say at least I've got the Scottish national team. But it's just, it's got to that stage.
Yeah,
2023, most of 2022, parts of 2021. I could keep going. Yeah, it's just been, I don't know what the Latin is for it. Annus Horribilis or whatever it is. Like, just utterly horrific. I don't even know how I could begin to describe, especially this season in particular. I think if we were both to sit down, say, back in May, June time, after both our relegations, and if we were to sit and go, we'll be 21 points apart after 14 games, I don't think either of us would have believed it.
No.
But I think we're both clubs kind of finished the season. I think you were finishing just slightly stronger. I think the new guys at the helm were starting to get their ideas across. You had a really good core of experience. And that, I think that's a big, big issue, in particular with ourselves, compared to the likes of Peterhead, Jordan Barnes, and even Stenhouse Muir as well, that it became pretty clear very early doors that there were deficiencies within the squad. And I don't think, even though I've still got a role at the club, I'm speaking out of turn there, that's there for all to see, and everybody will have their own individual opinion on where they lie off and on the field. I'm looking at on the field in particular, and yeah, there's an imbalance in the squad, there's an inexperience in the squad, and I want this year done because we need to get to January. We need to get January quite pronto and with as little damage done in the interim period.
There has obviously been a change in manager since the last time we spoke. Get your take on that. Was that a change that you felt was coming and was needed?
Well, right, okay, so how to break this one down before I break down. Right, so if you go back, the change, so from the end of last season when Jim Duffy was in charge of the full first team activity as a manager, and then there was the whole kind of redirection and the footballing department to go down this more continental approach, if you want to look at it that way, of a head coach and director of football. The idea being you get a new, hungry guy who wants to learn with that experienced individual heading up the kind of trickier side of things that maybe some of the younger managers maybe struggle to deal with, the negotiations and all that kind of side of things. So on paper, it made sense. The execution was lacking. Now, the biggest issue I think we had was, again, I hope I'm not speaking out of turn, but Jim Duffy wasn't ready to step back from that full control element that he was used to being a manager all his career. Largely, I know he was a coach at Chelsea and stuff, but after that point, he was always the main man. But he should never have been the main man as a director of football. So the tactics, the coaching and all that should have purely laid on Brian McLean's head, if you want to call it that. But I think there was this disconnect between what was expected of both individuals. When the time came and the right decision was made to relieve Jim of the director of football duties, it then obviously fell on Brian. However, he was at such a disadvantage by that point. Even Ian's struggling at the moment to get a tune out of the players. So, he has, but it's not drastic. So asking someone as inexperienced as Brian, now, I went to training at least once a week to interview, and I would watch the full training session. It was never through a lack of effort with Brian McLean. Far from it. And the actual coaching that he put on to me as a relative novice looked very impressive, and the players responded well, the players trained well, players happy, smelly faces, but at the same time focused. But at the same time, when he crossed the pitch on a Saturday, you weren't seeing that. Bar one game in maybe 40, 45 minutes here and there, it's just not worked, it, or it hadn't worked. So again, when the time came, it wasn't surprising that Brian was relieved of his duties. It was the right decision. I did have a lot of sympathy for Brian, though. Not just on a personal level, because I did get to know him, but from the footballing aspect, I think he had been very much sold up the river a wee bit, really. And that was decision-making off the park. And again, I don't think I'm speaking out of turn on that. And if not, I'll be getting an angry email if people get wind of this. So,
this might be the last time we speak to you then, is it?
In an official Clyde capacity.
So obviously you've now got Ian McCall in. You sort of touched on it there. Have you seen signs of improvement then?
Sorry, my dog's just came up to say hi here. Very, very small improvements. And at the moment, I don't think you'll see anything drastic. The first game where Ian was officially manager, he'd only had one training session. He'd literally been announced, like, just as he was walking out for training. Obviously, it had been done early in the day, but I interviewed Ian at 7 o'clock. Well, literally, the training session was kicking off just over our shoulder. And there was never going to be anything. But I think it was maybe a good thing, and I can't believe I'm saying this, to a 4-0 home defeat to East Fife, that happened because it was a what's and all moment. This is what you are dealing with, Ian.
Yeah.
This is the fragility, this is the naivety in the team, this is what you need to fix. Now, the Genefield game, because there's only been two games other than that game, the Genefield game in the Cup, which was a bit of a banana skin, I think, for probably some teams in our league, not all, I would say, certainly mid-table lower. Genefield are capable, and not just because of what they've done to Elgin. Elgin were a bit of a riot, to say the least, on the day, if not in general this season, and that's come for us. But they were a decent team, Genefield. They just, you could tell that they'd scored a lot of goals in the league. I think when they played us, they'd scored 18 in four games, which is more than what we had mustered in the entire season to that point. So there was a real kind of nervousness about that game. But that said, we kind of dealt with them very, very, not easily, but with relative ease. The game on Saturday against Renard, I think there was another slight improvement. The defensive frailties did once more come to light. It was a game we should have won. I think we maybe just slightly edged it. Stranar will probably argue that a draw is fair. But you know, when the old tinted goggles come on, you always say, we just deserved it. We played well enough. We scored two good goals. It was just that frustration, not being able to manage a game out, see a 2-1. Similar case early in the season away to Forfar, winning 1-0. And probably what was our best performance over 90 minutes in a season, without being brilliant, we were decent. Forfar did not trouble us until, I think, the 82nd minute before they even had a shot on target, which is unheard for against Clyde in the last year and a half. But we were, largely just in control of that game. We scored a brilliant goal for Connor Young. And then we give the ball away in the middle of the park, and a lovely shot deflects off of Peter Grant's backside and sends Layfield the wrong way, and it's one each. So, but that's clutching at straws. I'm talking about having four more points than what we've currently got, which would only take us up to 12 and sitting, I think, at best 8th. So, we are where we are on merit, on where we deserve to be at the moment, and there's a lot of work ahead.
Saturday's game, I think, is the start of a really tough run of fixtures for you. It's probably nae the best of runs for you.
That's putting it mildly, I think when you looked at the Christmas kind of festive run-in, you looked and we were lucky enough that the Elgin game was postponed, because I think everyone was like, get that to January. Mm. That's going to be a biggie. Going up there off the back of, well, it was off the back of the cup game, sorry, but off horrid league form, it's not happy hunting ground for ourselves. It was just, yeah, snow, rain, freeze a pitch, we don't care, just don't be on. Get that down to January, February. The East Fife game was always the one, sorry, not East Fife, Runar game was always the one that we looked at and went, that's the most winnable. Mm. That's the one that if we're going to just maybe build up to January with a wee bit extra points in the bank, that's the one that we're more than likely going to do. So of course we don't, which means we'll probably take something off a Steny. Like, that would just be very Clyde.
Yeah.
Like, very, very Clyde. It's the top three in the next three games. It's as simple as that. And when you're bottom of the league, and so far bottom, it can't get much bigger than that of a challenge.
It is a challenge, and I guess that's why Ian McCall's been brought in. So what are you expecting from Saturday then?
I would take your hand off for a draw. Mm. I really would. He's went with a back three. At the moment, I think that's just to try and make us a bit tougher to beat. But we still have conceded six in our last two league games. So there's still clear frailties there. I think if, and it's a big, big if, because every time we play ourselves, it's who does most in the middle of the park. Generally boss the game, and sadly for myself, and I'm sure you'll be delighted, I can see that wee grin on your face here, 9 times out of 10 has been Peterhead that will win that, and that's just fact. I look at McCarthy at the last game in the middle of the park, bossed it, and whilst it was a 2-1 scoreline, I mean, I don't know what the possession stats must have been. I know we took an early lead, but the second that you went 2-1 up, there was only a 1-1 in that game, because we couldn't get the ball off you. That simple. We just could not get the ball off you. So, for us to have any chance, we need to use the ball. Do I have any great confidence that we'll do that? Absolutely not. And that's just, it's not to berate the players, it's just where we're at the moment. We've got, our two best midfielders are currently injured. It's that simple. Barry Cuddihy and Ray Grant. Two guys that could help us win some battles with Barry Cuddihy, getting in and about players, and Ray Grant for his ability to just slow the game down, make simple passes, read the game. Everything that we need, we don't currently have in the middle of the park available or within the squad.
And you're lacking goals at the other end as well. I think I looked at it. I think Martin Rennie's the only one that scored more than a single goal in the league.
Yep, so across the whole season, it doesn't even make much better reading. So Martin Rennie, I think, is on 6 now. 6 or 7 for the season. I think our next highest goal scorer across all competitions is Liam Scullion. I think he's got 1 in the League Cup, 1 in the Scottish Cup, and 1 in the league. And then Logan Dunnicky, who's a centre-half, has got 2 for the season. And again, that's split over cup and league. Connor Young has been missing for a fair bit of the season, but then so again is Liam Scullion, and he's our second top goal scorer. So again, it's a major, major issue. Connor Young's a very, very talented young footballer. I think it was seen as a bit of a, was it maybe not an eye-opening transfer, but I think there was a lot of teams, especially back in June, I think there was quite a few teams down south sniffing about Connor. Bradford City, I think, were one of them. And he had an offer to go abroad. But thankfully for us, that fell through and we got him in. He does a lot more outside the box. Personally, I would like to see him get in and around the box a bit more, because he's a very good natural finisher. We've just not really seen that so far. His only goal 2 days away to Forfar was a rasping 25-yard half volley. Don't get me wrong, if he did three of them on Saturday, I'd be buzzing, but that might only mean it's a 3-each draw because of the flaws at the other end. But yeah, goals, at the moment, if you're going to concede at least two on average a game, you need to be able to score two or more a game, and we haven't done that on a consistent basis. That said, the last two games, we have done that, albeit the level of opposition, certainly not what we're going to be coming up against on Saturday.
And I guess from Nicole's sort of point of view as well, he was saying, well, if we're going to start winning games or taking points, these are the games that we need to start doing it in.
Yeah, and probably in some ways, the next three games, the pressure's off them in the sense that nobody, and probably 95% of the Clyde support, are not expecting us to get anything on Saturday or against Dumbarton or Stenny before December's out. And sometimes that can help you, especially when you've got younger players, you're not wanting to put the pressure on. And our squad is insanely young in the grand scheme of things. I think if you even including, say, a Ross Forbes in the team, the average age is still about 22. I mean, it's our best player, in my opinion, is an 18-year-old on loan from Kilmarnock, who's got 5 assists to his name. So, I mean, it's not his fault. But you're relying on youth. It's going to be up and down. It's going to be blowing hot and cold. And at the moment, it's certainly blowing a cold gale for us. But yeah, for Ian, it's more a fact-finding mission, I think, for the next few games, as it has been to date. It's who's up for the fight, who's up for the challenge ahead, simple put. I mean, Ian was quite brutally honest. I don't know, I think it was in one of the papers where he said 9th the target, and it is. And it is, and we went into this season with we wanting to challenge for the promotion playoffs, and that's not even remotely viable. I mean, even for myself, I always thought, do you know what, we get the right guy in the right time, and you never know, we could go on a mad run like we did with Danny Lennon when he first came in, and we were sitting 9th, and we nearly made it in the last day of the season, just before the season where we both went up. But that's way off what we're currently capable of doing, and in that season we did have goals, obviously, with a certain player up top. We had 20 plus goals a season, no matter where we were going to be in the league. So we need to get more goals into the team come January. We need to get a sturdier defence come January. And yeah, we also need to fix the middle of the park. So I hope Ian has got a new phone for Christmas with a good battery on it, plenty of free minutes, plenty of free text messages, because he's going to need it.
Well, Paul, always a pleasure to chat with you. And it's
it makes you feel good, doesn't it?
It sounds a wee bit better when at least one of us was seems to be enjoying it rather than the crap that we had to put up with last year. But anyway, always good to chat with you. All the best to you and your family for the festive period. Wish you thank well you. For that. And we'll no doubt chat with you in the new year.
Smashing. Thanks very much, mate.
And that is it for this week. We do hope you have enjoyed it. My thanks goes to Paul Shanks for joining me to preview Saturday's game against Clyde, and of course to Martin Smith for being here as always. Big thank you to everyone for listening and for your comments and questions. Do keep them coming in, we do appreciate them. Martin and I will be back again next week, so until then, stay safe and we'll see you all again very soon.